Welcome to BBS Radio. We have a very special treat for you this morning, this beautiful Sunday morning where it's snowing in paradise. Today's new radio program is with Sherry Edwards. It's called Sound Health Radio, and we've been looking forward to having Sherry on our radio program for quite some time, since before we moved to paradise. So we think you're all just going to love Sherry, and she has some extremely wonderful new technology and information that she'll be sharing with you. Sherry, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great.
Excellent.
I'm very honored that you're allowing me to do the show. Thank you.
Oh, we're honored to have you. Thank you.
Well, the show is going to be about bringing people information and options for their own self-health. And I've been on the other side of the radio for a long time, but this is the first time I've been on the control side of the mic. So I'm a little tentative here, and that's just my way of offering a bit of whining to let people know that I'm probably going to flub up somewhere along the way. But we're bringing you this show because I have this strong inclination toward allowing people the opportunity to have self-health and self-responsibility for their own health. And I run a company in Albany, Ohio, called Sound Health Research. And there we look at the idea of bioacoustic biology. And by using people's vocal profiles, we can tell a lot of information about their own health, the structure of their body, their biochemistry, their organs, their environment, for instance, how they would get along with the bird flu, which we're going to talk about a little bit later and help people through that. We're going to try to cover a lot of ground, but I think people should know why we're doing what we're doing. I just think the control of our health has gotten out of hand. I think insurance companies dictate why we go to the doctor, if we can go to the doctor, what the doctor can charge. And I'm just wondering how we let this get away from us, that insurance companies used to be our friend and helped us out when we got into a spot, but now they're dictating what kind of lab tests we can get, what doctor we can go to, and even how much the doctor can charge us. And I think there's a lot of things that we can do as a population to stop it. It's up to us. We're the consumer, and I can't think of any place else where we pay, well, except taxes, where we pay, yet we don't have any control about what's going on. So we're going to talk about an environment. We're going to talk about your body, your voice. We're going to take calls. We want to know how you feel about the present state of healthcare and whatever else is going on in the world. And the calls we're going to take, we'd like to stay on subject, but I can't think of any subject that we're not going to talk about in this whole series. Today we're going to talk, though, about how people feel about their healthcare. And I can warn you that if you start to get trashy or mean, I'm going to hang up on you because we're here to find solutions and not to place blame on what's going on. So enough of an introduction about what we're going to do. I'd like to talk about some of the benefits first of what's happening with the kind of I can't really say healthcare, but the kind of options that we're offering in looking at sound health research. Well, first we take someone's vocal print, and we can do that through the computer, or we can do it if you come to visit us, and we have people trained throughout the country that can take your vocal print. Then we translate your voice into numbers, and we look at that through computer, and probably a lot of you out there have heard me do people's vocal prints on the air and tell them they've got too much calcium or something like that. Well, we're looking at that through frequency because we believe the voice is a holographic representation of who you are. And through these number systems, we've been able to look at a lot of things. For instance, how many of you out there smoke? And how many of you get dirty looks and you get people telling you you shouldn't smoke and they think you're weak because you do? Well, in looking at a group of smokers, we have found out that smokers need sulfur. And that's one of the ingredients in that cigarette. And when people need sulfur, they're allergic to penicillin. They have a lot of problems with medications. So in my opinion, when we take their Vocaprin and look at it, we can see clearly that their need for sulfur is being satisfied by that cigarette. So it really is a biochemical need of what's going on. There's another one. I was drinking pop in a restaurant the other day, and one of the medical people that we work with came up to me and started reprimanding me about drinking pop. Well, one of the things that pop does is add a digestive aid. No, not a real one. They'll dissolve pennies, so they're certainly going to help you dissolve your food. But when some people eat meat, particularly when they have an inability to digest fat, then they drink pop as a way to help that digestion. So this is a Band-Aid approach to what's going on in your physiology, and it's a clue to tell you that you need some digestive enzymes. And again, we can see that in your Vocaprin. A large population of the U.S. is obese. And why? Well, one, I think our food supply is really poor and we don't get enough of the nutrients we need. But one of the things that happens with obese people, and they collect a lot of fat tissue. And an examination of that fat tissue shows that there's a toxin inside the little adipose cell, the fat cell. And your body is taking in all of these toxins, and your body doesn't know what to do with them. So it creates a fat cell to protect you from that toxin. And that fat cell lays down on your body wherever it's most like the frequency of a muscle. For instance, people who have a lot of fat cells in the stomach area, they have been exposed to DDT, a toxin on food. So if we start to detox the DDT, or you go on a diet and all of it, you get exposed to all this DDT, then you get ill, then you can't stay on the diet, and on and on. So if when you really look at the fat cells in the body, a great deal of the time fat is your friend. It's protecting you from those toxins. All of these things that I'm talking about, the smoking, the fat cells, the pop, that kind of thing is unknown to help the modern healthcare. But in looking at your Vocaprin, we can tell why you smoke, why you need pop, soda pop, why you have fat cells building up in your body. We can tell you why you're attracted to certain people. We can tell you why teenagers have problems with their parents. I mean, how many of you out there have been a teenager? Probably most of you. But when you look at a teenager's voice, they will have built up a very high amount of the particular frequencies of one of their parents. So in looking at this, it's a way for the a sociological way for the kid to get away from the parents. It's to leave the nest. So your physiology is preparing you to get out of the house. Now, with some kids, it never works and they never leave. But in most cases, there's a teenage kind of angst thing going on. Some of you may not have ever heard of the idea of taking your voice and looking at it to tell what's going on with your biochemistry. But if you think about it, you really know this. Think about a young man going through puberty. His voice changes. It gets very high and shrill and cracks. That voice is changing in terms of the biochemistry of the body. And all of you can tell the idea of who's ill or sad or sarcastic by way of their voice. We've just taken it a step further. And we've been doing this for 20-some years, And now even Pfizer Pharmaceuticals is beginning to pick up what we did about 20 years ago. We published some papers when I was a graduate student at Ohio University, and we were able to look at how medicines affected people. Particularly, we looked at blood pressure medication through Voclaprins. And Pfizer Pharmaceutical has just put out an article about they are now using vocal analysis to test new drugs because they think it's going to be a shortcut to what's going on. So there's a lot of information we can see. There's a lot of benefits of what can go on with vocal profiling. We teach classes on this, and I'll give you some information later about how you can contact us, or you can go to our website, which is vocalprofiling.com, vocalprofiling.com. And there's lots of information about that. And we're also going to post how you can send us your vocal prints so we can do an analysis. We can do a personality analysis and tell you how you get along with your fellow people, what's really going on in your life, or we can do a physiological evaluation of your bones and your structures and your biochemistry. Don, do you have any questions that I haven't covered about what people should know about what's going on with this show yet?
Well, the thing that I like so much about the new information that you'll be bringing is the fact that this technology that you're talking about that allows people to find out what may be wrong with them and what sort of deficiencies they have and how it can help them in their lives is something that is relatively inexpensive and should be able to be put in homes all across the world.
Well, it's easy. But there's an issue here of how many people do you know who are well? Completely well.
Well, exactly. There's not too many. Even my family, my folks are not well, and many of my family members are not well. And I think most people you meet or run into throughout the course of your day end up having some form of an ailment somewhere.
How would you like to be able to monitor? How would anybody out there like to be able to monitor their health on a daily basis so that they don't end up to the point where they're very ill?
Well, exactly.
That's what we're trying to accomplish. We've created computer programs that we want to offer to the public. The first one that we want to offer is something called a nutritional consultant. And this is a computer program we're going to put online so people can download it for free for 30 days. And then if they like it, we are going to expect them to pay for it. But there's another computer program that comes with it where they can look at all the frequencies of their voice, and they can keep that one forever so that they aren't bound to us by looking at their vocal prints. But most people have this on their computer already. It's under the Start menu. And accessories, and then entertainment, and there's a little sound recorder there. And they can look in their booklet on how to run that, or they can call our office and get some instructions for it. We can either fax it or email it or snail mail it to them so that they can learn how to take these vocal prints and look at their nutrition every day. We had a lady in last week, and it was a doctor referral, and her tongue was bitter and burning. This has been going on for a couple of years, and she had gone to all kinds of doctors and couldn't figure out what was going on. And we looked at her vocal print, and it was very obvious that she was toxic with zinc. And we looked at the nutrients she was taking, and sure enough, she was taking some minerals that had high doses of zinc. She went off of those minerals, and within 3 days, she had no burning, swollen, bitter kind of tongue anymore. That's the kind of thing that we can offer to people, and we think this should be available to everyone all the time. And this cost us a lot of money to do this and to develop these programs and all the instruction booklets. that they can pull down for free, and the PowerPoints and videos and audio tapes. But we think it's so important that people have the opportunity to serve themselves when it comes to their health. We're the consumer. We need to be in charge. So we've got 6 different programs that we're going to offer eventually throughout the series, and all of them are designed to help people. The first one, the nutrition program, we'll look at all of your amino acids and vitamins and minerals and enzymes and be able to help you make some decisions about what kind of nutrients you take. The last statistics I read, there's 17 million people who take nutrients on a regular basis, and about 3 times that many people who take nutrients on sort of a haphazard basis because they really don't know what to take. You go into a health food store and you listen to the $6-an-hour clerk. They really don't know a lot about what your needs are. But with this particular computer program, you'd be able to tell that. We're offering it not only for people to be able to monitor their own health, but if they want, they could set up a business so that they can take the vocal prints of a lot of other people around them. They could set up a business doing this if they wanted. And this 30 days gives them time to evaluate the program, learn to do it. You can learn to do this program in about 2 hours and be very proficient in it because we offer you a lot of reference materials to help you out. And there's a big dictionary inside the program, too, that tells you, well, calcium does this, and it comes from here, and it needs these kind of supplements to help it out. So we're hoping that we can enhance people's ability to monitor themselves, enhance their knowledge about nutrition, and keep themselves healthy so they don't have to go to the doctor, and then to turn around and do that for lots of other people. We're hoping, too, that once they learn to do it, and they begin to set up their business and charge people for doing it, they'll earn enough money to come to our larger class, which is a week-long focus class that we teach in Ohio, and become proficient at not only taking someone's vocal print and creating all of these nutritional reports, but they can then give people back frequencies so that you can help the body get well. And an idea, I tend to tell stories about how this works. And the story about how this focus course works, we had a physician come to us, and his name was Rush. He worked at the Fairfield Hospital in the emergency room, and he was doing medical care out of a wheelchair, a little kind of roadster sports wheelchair. And they said he had MS, multiple sclerosis. He was numb from the waist down. We took his vocal prints, and we were able to see that he couldn't use myristic acid, that one of the vertebrae was in stress. And from the frequencies and how they were placed in his chart, we were able to tell the doctors, and he had been to the Mayo Clinic and the Cleveland Clinic, and we were able to tell them that we didn't think he had MS. So we began working with him, not only by the reports that were getting printed out, but we started to give him back frequencies in a little tone box. It took 7 months. Then we had him do an electromyogram, which they take readings off the muscles. Now remember that his nerves were dead. He was numb from the waist down. During all this time, he had begun to walk. He got out of the wheelchair. He started walking with 2 canes, then one, which was a quad cane, which has 4 prongs on it, and then with just a single cane. That electromyogram EMG showed that his nerves had regrown from the waist down. That is impossible. That can't happen. Yet by using this new type of frequency medicine, we were able to make it happen. And this is just not a fluke out of the blue that somebody just spontaneously got well. At the same time, we were dealing with a woman that had a brain tumor 18 years ago, and they removed it and left her deaf in one ear. We were taking her vocal prints, and we happened to notice that she and Dr. Rudy had some of the same frequencies and stress. So we began to give her the same kinds of frequencies that we were giving him. And her nerves regrew in her ear, and she can now hear. That is impossible. So what we're doing is moving medicine forward to a new genre, a new way of looking at the body and medicine. People really don't like to think about that they're just a pile of numbers, but they are. And we can look at an artist, and he's going to look at the body in terms of form and beauty and symmetry. And somebody else may look at the body like a surgeon in terms of mechanics. We look at the body in terms of numbers, in terms of frequencies. And we've set up this system, and it's taken us a really long time because we didn't really know what we were doing. And I'm just some lone little person down here in southern Ohio. I didn't go to the Mayo Clinic or to Yale or Duke or whatever. I just had an idea that the body had a frequency, and from knowing and hearing those frequencies, that we could establish some kind of system that could help people. And we've been helping people for years, but we really didn't know how we were doing it. And that was our downfall, because we'd go to the National Institute of Health and talk to them about our results, and they would say, but how are you doing this? And we couldn't tell them until I started studying physiology. And the more I studied, the more I realized that we are just a bundle of nerves, about 144,000 miles of nerve fibers for every 150 pounds of body weight. And on each one of those nerve fibers is a frequency. And they all sort of come together in the brain and spinal cord. Now, if we could find a way to tap in to that frequency set, and I think that's what Rife was doing all along, and I think that's what they're doing with MRIs and looking at all the frequencies of the body and the magnetic potentials, and which is also a form of frequency. So, but how do you tap into that? I mean, medicine's doing it with like a TENS unit, which they strap on your leg or a muscle, and they run frequencies through it, and they fatigue the muscle and the nerve till the pain won't signal no longer goes to the brain. So they've been using this, but even modern medicine doesn't know how all this happens. So we have found a way to tap in to the body's frequency sets through looking at your voice and analyzing it. And we use frequencies from 0 to 100,000 cycles per second. And we only look at 24 points off of that entire set, 100,000 points, and we look at 24. We look at what's not coherent, like all the sour notes in your voice, and we can tell a tremendous amount about you. Then we found a way to tap back in and give you the frequencies through your skin and allow your body to use them, sort of splice into your system to allow the body to get well. How else can you explain us being able to use a little frequency generator to go into someone's nerves and rebuild them by using system of numbers that represent myristic acid and sphygnosine and all those medical terms that tell you what's going on? How does it happen? Well, we didn't know for a long time. Now we know that your vocal cords respond to a nerve called the recurrent laryngeal nerve. And that nerve is in the parasympathetic nerve bundle of the 10th cranial nerve, the vagus nerve. And this is as technical as I'm going to get on you. And that sends the signal directly to the brain. That's why when you're very excited, that parasympathetic nerve bundle is what keeps you under control. It drops in your adrenaline. It keeps your body in stasis. And so we can look at that through your voice. The sounds that we give you back are in a little teeny tone generator. We call it a square two. It used to be a square one because that's where we started. But we've sort of sophisticated a bit. We call that a square two. And we can provide the information, the frequencies, back to you in the air, just like ambient sounds, and allow that to hit your skin. Now, we have some new sounds developed where we can target specific organs. because we're working with a few cancer patients that have cancer of the liver and cancer of the bowel, and we want to target specific organs along with the nerves and the muscles. So right now we're doing it with headphones, or you can use a speaker and have these sounds in your room with you. Now, in Dr. Rudy's case, he used the sounds only at night and for about 7 months. And at the end of that, he couldn't believe what was going on. None of us could. We could see his results. His own physicians couldn't believe what was going on until we got the lab results. And then we began to believe in what was happening. Then we began to look at the physiological reasons for it. Now that we have the information that says this is how it happened, they can believe. Now, we did this all along. It took the belief of a research project and of a computer, because it's all computerized, but we could do this all along. Everyone knows about being able to sing to a baby and calm it, or people moaning when they're sick, or making strange noises when you're in certain activities and it kind of releases energy for you. We use our voice in a lot of ways, and I think we take it for granted. This is a new system of looking at the world, much like the idea of chemistry, where you look at a series of chemicals as a basis for the universe. We're able to look at a series of sounds as a basis for the universe. And we call this new system sonistry, like chemistry, only with sounds. The field of study that it is human bioacoustics. And bioacoustics just literally means life sounds. This was based on the idea if they could study bird whistles and frog croaks and whales and that kind of thing, then why couldn't we study the human voice and find out what was going on? So we've done this very esoterically in the beginning. Now it's all computerized. We're looking at this from not only a personal perspective, but we can also use the same computer programs that we've developed, and we can put in calcium, the frequency for calcium, or what we call the frequency equivalent of calcium, and we can see the universal principles of calcium. What does it take to make calcium optimally available for all of the planet? And then we can look at what can make calcium optimally available for you specifically. What's going on in your frequency pattern that doesn't allow calcium to work in your body? And calcium works 117 different systems and cascades in your body, what they call chemical cascades. We've just taken those same ideas. For instance, in calcium, if you look in the literature, it'll tell you it needs phosphorus and vitamin D and vitamin C and essential fatty acids and boron and all of those things to need calcium. And everybody has a different reason why they can't use it. We can look specifically at your system and see where your sort of glitch or fault or sour note is. Then we can give that back to you by frequency. This is a tremendous way to look at individually why your body does the thing that it does. And what just strikes me and is absolutely awesome when I look at this stuff is the system of numbers exactly matches the literature to a point. We go beyond the points that you see in literature. The numbers are set. The numbers are, it's the universal language. Mass is the universal language of the planet. One and one is two in every language. The concept, I'm talking about the words, but the concept, one and one is two. So it doesn't really matter what language you're going to speak or anything else. We can look at how your body relates to something. We can look at the mathematical matrix of your DNA. We can look at what's making you ill or what's making you healthy. If you're feeling great and wonderful on one day and we look at what's going on, then we can see what makes your body happy and give you more of that by frequency or translated into a nutrient or a food or a massage or a medication or whatever you happen to need at the time. We're going to have more about this and how it works and how it's going to affect you and your grandchildren and your grandchildren's grandchildren right after this short break. This is Sherry Edwards back with Sound Health Radio, providing you information and options for self-help. So a lot of times when I talk about vocal profiling, people are stunned that there is such a system, and they often ask me, well, how'd you get started in all this? Well, I got started officially when I thought I was ill, when I was typing a paper on tinnitus or ringing in the ears, and I was trying to work myself through college, and typing this paper, and I thought to myself, good grief, you are really sick, girl. You hear music, you hear sounds, you hear lots of things in your ears. And so I rushed down to the speech and hearing lab, and that's where I was working in the speech and hearing department, and decided to have my ears tested. And the guy who is testing my ears, we were each in this little soundproof room, came out of that room and he said, what are you hearing? Your hearing is absolutely off the scale. And I had told the director of the program that I heard sounds from people's ears. And he said, Sherry, people think you're kind of nutty. Anyway, you probably shouldn't talk about that because there's nothing in the ear that creates a sound. But this guy who was testing my ears came in and he asked me to just make one of these sounds. And so I did, and it doesn't sound very good on the radio, but he nearly dropped to his knees. And he had high blood pressure, and what he felt had happened was I had done a sound that had dropped his blood pressure, and he was very, very interested in that concept because he was reading a book about the samurai warriors and that they did a sound right before they attacked their opponent to lower the opponent's blood pressure. So we thought this is a very ancient concept, but to bring it to modern times, he was taking a medication for high blood pressure, and it was rendering him impotent. And he was a young guy, and he and his wife wanted to start a family. And he said to me, can you deal with this? Can you help me get off this medication so that maybe there's no side effects to this sound, and then we could have a family? And the more we talked about it, the more we decided to do a research project. I was a senior at Ohio University, and I needed a project to graduate, and he was willing to do the work. And I had three little kids and was working full-time and going to school, and I really didn't have time to do this project very well. So we collaborated, and we found out that we could reduce people's blood pressure by as much as 30 points. And that's enough to kill somebody. And we were a little concerned about that. And my professor said, go back and do this again. We're not sure this is right. We were working with the School of Hearing and Speech Sciences, School of Music, School of Interpersonal Communication, and the School of Nursing. So we did this project three different times and found out that, yes, there is a sound that is coming out of people's ears. I can hear it because my range of hearing is different from other humans. I have a bone in my ear that's wound a little tighter, and I also have a really old piece of the ear that comes from fishes that evolved, and mine is open and usable, called a succulus. Excuse me. That's different from other people in how the ear is constructed, but my voice is also different, and then the harmonics of my voice are 1 to 6, where most humans have a harmonic of 1 to 5 or 1 to 7. But we've tested people who have healing abilities with their voice, and their harmonics are 1 to 6, and that's the same harmonics as a dolphin, and it doesn't allow for echolocation or location of the voice. So we started looking at the properties of my voice, and it creates sine waves. That's impossible in creating sine waves with your voice. So we think that's what's going on with it, but we don't really know. So we did other tests and found out that as we were giving people sounds, their brain waves and their heart was going into synchronization. And we think that's how the healing takes place. That's what the math brain people think. That if you can think something, do something, put your body in a certain kind of configuration, that you'll get well. Do we have a call, Don?
Hello?
Hello?
I can barely hear you.
This is Sherry.
What I'm calling for is there's a machine that's similar to what you're talking about, only instead of using the human voice, I don't know, I think it's like a upgraded or upscale version of radionics. You can go to like White Dove Healing Arts, Quantum Zeroid, something like that. But it's really interesting because it's similar to what you're doing, only it's using a computer program. And I guess the client sends in like something written, or it used to be you would give like a hair sample or a blood or something like that. But this is done, they can tell like if it's something in your environment, if it's something in your blood, if it's something physiological like your structure or something like that.
I've heard of the Quantum Zeroid.
So I didn't know if you were familiar with this or...
I've heard of it. They've been in contact with us. I've also heard that some of our frequencies are contained within their machine. I'd like to talk to you more about this. Can you give me a call after the show, or I'll give you my email? The email is soundhealthradio@vocalprofiling.com, and the phone number is 740-698-9119. And we can talk more about this. I have some definite opinions about this, but not those that I'll air on radio.
I apologize for that. I think somehow we lost the connection. It must have been a fairly bad connection. I don't know. She couldn't hear you, and then we lost the signal.
Okay, I could barely hear her also.
Okay, I'll try to adjust the controls next time.
Okay. So we're going to go back to how this all got started. So we figured out that I had this very esoteric perspective of being able to hear sounds from people. They really were coming from the ears. And Johns Hopkins University found that there really is this sound that's very measurable. They stick a wire kind of microphone in their ear, and they measure the sound. There's an independent center called the Davis Center in New Jersey that has done studies on these otoacoustic emissions. And by the way, on PubMed, you can find all kinds of information about otoacoustic emissions and how they're being used for diagnostics of disease. But we did a study on the sounds coming out of the ear, those otoacoustic emissions, and people's vocal prints. And even though we only take 24 points of 100,000 frequencies in your voice, 100% of the time, that otoacoustic emission frequency is one of those 24 points. So medicine now looks at otoacoustic emissions to diagnose, but they need you present. They need to stick a wire in your ear, and for some people, they need to be sedated to do this. But we can do it from a vocal print. You don't have to be in our presence. You can send us a vocal print via the internet. You record it in a specific way on your computer, and then send it to us, and we can run it through the machine, or we can give you the information on how to run it through the machine or the computer programs that we provide to you. Once we did this first computer program, people kept coming to me and inviting me over to dinner, and then all they wanted to do was have me talk about these vocal prints and what they meant and what could I tell them about them, and they're very interested in their own health. And I looked at this and thought, if I'm ever going to get you dinner because all I did was talk, I'm going to have to do this as some kind of vocation. So we wrote up the papers about blood pressure and sent them off to get published, and they were published in the early 80s. And from then, it's just kind of snowballed into we just started taking vocal prints and collecting them and seeing what people had, and everybody that had Parkinson's, we looked at them, and everybody who had measles, we looked at them. And we began to put a database together and then begin to look at a way to define, say, genes, or a way to define toxins, or a way to define any sickness or illness that somebody hadn't been able to put a number on, or to put a gene or frequency or a bacteria. And we started looking at the vocal print in terms of its architecture, what it looked like spread out on the screen. And now we can look at how the vocal print is set up on the computer, and we can tell if somebody is overdosed with the medicine. If somebody has the flu, we can't really tell what kind of flu it is, but we can tell that it's a flu, and we give you the frequency, and the flu just tends to go away. So from this very esoteric, I can hear sounds, and there's a lot of people out there that can hear them. We just need to be able to test people and know about it and teach them how to use it and teach them to sing and to tone and do vocalizations. And we do have on our website an article that if you can moan, you can tone. And with that, you can learn to hear your own sounds, and they come out of your ear. You can cup your hands on your ears and then start doing a sound that's very low, like to very high, and with your hands cupped on your ears at one point, your ears will begin to ring. So you listen to that ringing, and that tends to cause your brain and your heart to go into synchronization, which is kind of a topic we left a few seconds ago for the brain math people, that they think people get well when their heart and their brain is in synchronization. And we think that's the same thing that's happening. When either you listen to your own sound, you really don't need me, but when you listen to your own sound, or when we give you the sound by a frequency, the frequency we're providing you is the signal that you need, and the way we're providing it to you is the pattern, because the pattern is just as important as the actual frequency. And when you combine those two, and we have all kinds of printouts showing this, that the heart and the brain will go into sync. We also have some printouts that are really interesting that aren't posted on our website, but should be, of the patterns of people's voices. When we were doing this original computer program analysis of the frequencies, the brain waves of the person that I was doing the tones to, our heart and brain synchronized. So we became like one person. I was touching her hand and feeling her sound, which is what we're going to do on the air with call-ins. Oh, and by the way, our time is going to be changed. We are going to be right after the Fred Bell Show next week on Saturday at 9 p.m. Pacific. That's 12 Eastern. So those of you listening today, tell all your friends we're going to be changing times, and we're going to be doing some of these frequencies when people call in. And when I do the frequencies, we put them up on a screen, and the computer will tell us what's going on. But originally, when we were doing this, the sounds that I was doing in the other person's brain and heart went into synchronization with mine. And the engineer that was doing this was so fascinated by it, he didn't tell me what was going on, but what was in the voice print was the clasp hands. In the actual voice print, clasp hands. That's impossible, because it's just supposed to be lines and stringy-looking things. But he saw this clasped hands, which I was a point of concentration in this study, because we were all hooked up to all this horse harness kind of equipment and glue in our hair and all that. And he asked me to look out the window and do a sound of what I was seeing. And it happened to be a mosque, like a church top. And in the vocal print was the shape of the top of that church. He still didn't tell me. He said, close your eyes and think of something. And so I said, well, what should I think about? He said, oh, just anything. And so I was thinking of church bells. And in the vocal print on the computer was pictures of little church bells. Now, we've done that many, many times. But it tells me that if you'll think and concentrate on what you're trying to do or say to somebody, and you do the sounds with them, that the healing potential will take place. I can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure that this has been with us since the beginning of time, this ability to make sounds and produce healings and to lay your hands on somebody and feel their frequency and feel what's going on with them and just let these sounds ooze out of you. I've talked to so many people that can do that, and it facilitates a healing, but they can't understand it. I think it's part of our core from our guts, but now we've put it into a computer program to explain how it happens. We've looked at the physiology of it, and now so the world can remember it, the world can repeat it, the scientists can judge it and look at it. So now that it's in this computer program, they can't say, well, this is just charisma, or it was just time for him to get well, because this is like a machine that's doing this. I wanted to say stupid machine, but computers aren't stupid. I love them. I love them and the internet. They make my life so easy. But we're able to look at this and take this very esoteric perspective and turn it into something that's absolutely life-saving. I knew this from the beginning. I knew that I could do these sounds and it would change me and it would change other people around me, but I really didn't know what it was. And I think I started this entire system just to prove I was sane. And now it's on its way to changing history, changing medicine, changing the way we look at science and even the universe. When you begin to look at the elements and the frequencies of those elements, and I can't remember exactly, but if you take something, oxygen's frequency minus hydrogen's frequency equals nitrogen. I'll post those up on the internet for people on our site. But it shows that this is a frequency-based universe. And even when we begin to look at the elements and looking at a spectrograph, we look at the frequency of that element to tell us what it is, what it contains, what its properties are. We just found a way to do this for the human body through the numbers. I would like to share one story about what made me start looking at this to help other people. And I look back at what happened, and I don't know how I ever got through it. But it challenged me to present this to the world, and it has not been easy because I have one foot in the esoteric side and I have one set in the scientific side. You know, these esoteric music festivals, oh, you can't come because you're too scientific. And then the scientific journals and whatever, oh, you're too esoteric, you can't be here. But this story will tell you why I'm doing this work. I live out in the country in the middle of nowhere in Appalachia in southern Ohio. And we don't have any modern things like swimming pools and that kind of stuff, so we go swim in the creek. And we were swimming at this swimming hole called Moonville. And my 12-year-old daughter, who was overweight at the time, went up on the top of this cliff where they had this Tarzan swing. And she was swinging out over the water, so was everybody else, and then dropping. And she decided she was going to do this because people were kind of making fun of her. So she went up there and swung out on this rope, and she couldn't hold on. And she fell about 12 feet into about 3 inches of water on her knees. And when I got to her, the lower part of one leg was hanging off to the side, and you could see all the adipose tissue, the fat, bubbly, marbly-looking stuff. And you could see the veins had busted. And I didn't want her to see all this. And I dunked her head under the water, and I took her foot, and I twisted it around and jammed everything back together so she wouldn't see it. And my son was with us. He had on a red T-shirt, a sleeveless kind of thing. And I took it and wrapped it around this leg because I knew my daughter was going to bleed to death. We were about 45 minutes from help, and her leg was ripped off 90%. You could just see some of the stuff in the back hanging together. So I had somebody help me get her to the bank, and I knew it wouldn't do any good, but I sent for an ambulance. And I knelt down by her waist between her head and her leg so she wouldn't see it. And I started toning for her and singing to her and talking to her. And I didn't look back because all I was going to do was tone to her to help her die easy. I didn't want her to be scared. And we're singing, and she's talking and pretty calm, and people behind us are getting sick looking at this, but I don't want her to see any of it. And the ambulance got there, and they had to come across the water, and they didn't even hesitate. They jumped in the water. It was up to their neck. They got her on a stretcher. They took off this bandage, and they put on a bubble wrap kind of puffy thing. Stuck her on the stretcher and took her across the water, and I'm still doing my sound. And I followed them to the hospital doing my sound. I think I was in a state of shock. I don't know if the sounds were for her or for me. But we got to the hospital, and they took her in right away, and she's in the back room, and I'm in the front trying to fill out papers. And I thought, I can let go of these sounds now, because the nurses there knew me, because I had taught them doing tones and laying on of hands healings and things in some of the courses I taught at the university. And the second I let go of those sounds, I started to shake. I shook for about 3 days. I don't know how I ever got through the initial part of this. And she started screaming in the back room of the hospital and started bleeding profusely. They didn't know how badly she was hurt. She was in the hospital 49 days. She had 3 operations. Her bone was split 7 inches vertically. She had torn every blood vessel in her leg, even the artery, but hadn't torn it enough. And the pressure, somehow the pressure that we put on it by laying her down and shoving that leg back together, and maybe it was the cold water, I don't know, but something kept her from bleeding until she got to the hospital. And when the doctors told me how bad it was, I committed then, I was just doing all of this as a lark, but I committed then that if I could help one parent not have to watch their kid die, if this was something that was truly anything that could, any system that could be taught, that it could be used in an emergency situation in any way or for the health of anyone. I wanted to teach it to everyone. I wanted everyone to listen to what was possible. And I had the knowledge that it happened. There it was. But I knew nobody else was going to believe. So I had to go to school and finish all these degrees so people would listen to me. I had to create the computer programs to make it easy. I had to make the system so I could teach it to somebody else, because if only I could do it, it was going to die when I died. I had to make it obtainable, and I couldn't get anybody to help me. Nobody would believe me that this could happen. When you get your sounds, your body just heals itself from the inside out, and it feels so natural, you can't possibly think it was the sound. But it is. And that ought to be available to the universe. So we've created classes for people to take so they can go out and teach it to other people, so they can go out and monitor people and share this, and they can take care of their loved ones and help them through whatever transition they're going through. We've written books about it. We're offering those instruction booklets on the internet for anybody who wants to pull them down. I've given the number for people to call us. I'll give it again, 740-698-9119. And I would like to encourage anybody listening to the show to call everyone they know and to listen to the rest of this series about how they can make their life better and have dominion over their health. Next week, we're going to talk about fibromyalgia. That's painful muscles and joints and headaches. And we're going to talk about it in terms of wheat allergies. So any of you, write to us at the vocal profiling address. It's Sound Health Radio at vocalprofiling.com. Tell us where you're calling from. Express your opinion about the current state of health and health care in this world, and especially in the United States. And tell us how you want to get involved. Would you like to do a research project with the pre-vaccination risk factors that we're looking at? Because we can take a vocal profile and find out who's at risk. Are you interested in the frequencies that we have decoded for the bird flu? We have them. We know what nutrients to look at. We know that NAC, which is a form of cysteine, will prevent people from getting the bird flu symptoms as harsh as they're coming about. I really shouldn't say that. We haven't tested the bird flu particularly. We've just tested other things, and we know that we can have an influence on this, this pandemic that may be coming. We want to give these computer programs away to people and for them to give us back data to test the system. We'd like this available to everyone on the planet that wants to monitor their own health.
Sherry, thank you. To our audience, thank you very much for tuning in to Sherry's radio program today. Remember, this is a very special program, and to all of us here at BBS Radio, I think this is going to be one of our most special shows. I truly hope you tell all your friends about Sound Health Radio with Sherry Edwards, because, you know, health is such a big part of our lives, and Sherry has so much wonderful new information and technology to show people and can make it available worldwide. So listen to her, bring your friends, tune in after the Dr. Fred Bell Show Saturday at 9 p.m. Pacific, where Sherry Edwards will again be with us. Sherry, thank you.
You're most welcome.
Is there anything else you'd like to say? We ran over our time by about several minutes. So.
Well, I didn't know exactly what time we started or if my clock was correct.
Not a problem.
You could jump in and say, shut up.
Oh, no, not a problem. Normally we stop a few minutes before the hour. That way I just get enough time to phone the next guest and get them on the air.
It's 2 minutes after 5 here. What time do you have?
You're right on. You're right on.
I thought he'll jump in any minute, or he'll be coming.
You know, you were nervous to begin the radio program at first, and I knew you'd have no problem. I just knew you'd be a natural on the radio program, and you are. I mean, I was just stunned. Jerry, you're fantastic, you know, a person like you, I just got to tell you, I love you, and I thank you for being a part of my life and the people's lives who are listening, and all of our lives.
Thank you. I wasn't sure I could do this.
Well, we're going to be seeing you every week, every weekend, starting Saturday evening, and I am truly looking forward to each and every show.
Thank you. Boy, this is such a relief to have this over with. And as I was talking, I realized this is an opportunity to say it my way. I know you have to go.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.